Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Yes, definitely, and a hello on my side.
Well, welcome to tonight's show. This is Deborah Voith, and I'm here with co-host Elvira Love and our mystical announcer, Nagashiba Ironwood. So in keeping with this, beginning this month's theme of tween times, and by tween we don't mean teenagers or preteens, we mean like between times, liminal times. So tonight we will be talking about the deity Thoth, god of divine balance. And as Thoth is a very vast, vast subject, which we could probably do several shows about, the many aspects of this deity. But tonight we are going to focus on who he is and then take a look at his tween and liminal aspects as mediator of gods in the underworld. But first, we're going to catch up a little. What have I been up to over this past week? Anything good? I'm not sure. This has been a really kind of an oddball week for me. It's been, I usually spend a good amount of time up in the Northwoods, and I did it this past week, and it was a great week in a lot of ways. There was some beautiful weather. I always just feel much calmer being out in the woods and stuff, you know, and actually enjoying the tween time right now of the end of summer and the beginning hints of autumn, you know, coming into the air. But there's been like some intense things going on. Not bad things, but just rather intense. So I've been like, getting ready for the Pagan Pride Festival in Milwaukee. And that, that's going to be on Saturday. And there I will be doing readings and probably selling a few books. And me and my sister Sharon will be giving a workshop on candle magic. And so that should be a lot of fun. Yeah. And I'm also kind of looking forward to, I had to step away from the local shop that I worked at sometimes, but I am looking forward to getting back there this coming week at Altered State of Mind next week to do readings and cleansing, soul retrievals, past life journeys and stuff like that. So that should be fun. Sorry, I'm kind of moving some things around here as I talk. Okay. That's pretty much it for me. How's your week been, Elvira?
Oh, my. Well, it's been good and yet intense. Mm-hmm. I had a technical difficulty last week that has continued to follow through to this week for what I feel will probably be a culmination and back on track by tomorrow. But because of all of that and just, you know, the fact that we had Labor Day and so there was a bunch of different things going on, you know, family-wise and things like that, I did have something really great last week happen on Wednesday night. My son-in-law's birthday, of course, was over the weekend. And he has three children that are grown now and out of the house with, you know, their own lives. And so we all connected and went to this most incredible restaurant that was in this little town that's kind of over. And, I mean, when I say it isn't even a town, it's a bus stop if you had a bus, but it would be basically a restaurant and a little convenience store and a basic gas station, and that's it. And this restaurant, I don't even remember the name, but it's it, all it serves is chicken, fried chicken, and it has that's the only thing on the menu. And what they do is they serve it with basically green beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn, and coleslaw. And this is what you get. Now, because we were a large table, we got bowls of this, okay? So, and they brought us, I think, two or three different bowls of chicken as we ate them. I mean, and it was excellent fried chicken. I mean, really awesome. And, you know, we were all stuffing ourselves. And then, of course, we didn't do a birthday thing like a birthday cake, but each of us got some kind of a dessert, and I got a blackberry cobbler that was homemade.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I mean, I literally was absolutely in heaven, and I'm like going, I want to go back here just to experience another meal because I've never had fried chicken like that, period. So that was really good. And I think that for me, that was my highlight of the whole entire week, personally, after all is said and done. And then, you know, we've had some, you know, kinds of things we had go on, you know, we've had different things happen with our show. And so, you know, it's nice to be back on the air and having, you know, our normal little routine that we're doing. And it's kind of interesting because obviously when we started in getting this particular subject on track, I, you know, like we both do, I did some preliminary and I was astounded, you know, I mean, I know who Thoth is and you know, all that, but I was astounded with the amount of information and what this deity is all about. So, I think what I'm going to do now is just turn it back over to you because there is so much information that at this point I think it would be fun to roll around in it, so to speak, like a cat in catnip and enjoy ourselves for the, you know, the information exchange.
Well, so I guess I'm going to start out with just some of the basic information about who the deity Thoth is. And you know, I kind of felt the same way as you, Elvira. I'm very familiar with Thoth. But when I started kind of looking at, oh, you know, let me make a couple notes and stuff like that, it's like, oh, wow, you know, he is really so vast that it can be kind of overwhelming to start researching him. And I think that for some people, they might be a little intimidated by him just because he has such a, you know, a vastness to him, you know. Thoth, or who is also known as, now I've heard two different pronunciations, so I'm going to say Jehudi. It's spelled D like David, E-J-U-T-Y, but I believe the D is silent. So it's like, or pronounced like a J, Jehudi. And he is the ancient Egyptian god of wisdom and magic. So Thoth was also a keeper and author of the records of the gods and a mediator between the gods and something of a psychopomp guide of the souls in the underworld. And so it is believed he is so much about words and the power of words that it's believed by some that the logos concept utilized by Christianity may have been derived from the Egyptian god of wisdom, Thoth.
Mm-hmm.
And in the mythos of Osiris and Isis, he was the master magician who taught Isis how to bring her slain spouse back to life. So he's very multifaceted. He is the god of balance, language, and the moon, as well as many other things. He controls space and time, and he also takes part, along with Osiris and Maat, in the judgment of the dead in the afterlife, where he records each person. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a lot right there, but he's also credited with inventing writing, no small thing there, creating knowledge, and designing the language, the languages of the world. And so there are multiple theories regarding Thoth's origin. And so I was just going to like briefly highlight what these multiple theories are. So some of the most well-known are, well, one was that he was born from the lips of Ra, the sun god, at the beginning of creation. In this story, Thoth is known as the god with no mother.
Mm-hmm.
Another version is that he was self-created at the beginning of creation and wills himself into existence by talking. As an ibis, he lays the cosmic egg that holds all of creation. And yet another version is that he was born from Seth's head, the skull of Seth, and Seth, another deity, is associated with chaos. And then there is the mythos that he was born from the seed of Horus, the son of Osiris and Isis, who established order.
Mm-hmm.
And yet another version of his origin is that Thoth was born from the forehead of Set during a struggle mm-hmm. for the throne of Egypt between Set and Horus. And so I think what's interesting is that, well, all of those are interesting, but that Thoth was considered the heart and tongue of Ra and was thought to translate Ra's will into speech. And so talk about being a liminal or a mediator. It's like, wow. So I'm just in a general way for a couple minutes before I turn it over to you is I'm going to highlight some of Thoth's main roles or duties in a very general way to just kind of give an overview of this complex deity. First, he is a scribe, a divine scribe. So Thoth was the scribe of the gods. So he documents all events and decrees of the divine realm.
Mm-hmm.
Second, he is the god of knowledge. He presides over all intellectual pursuits, such as writing, mathematics, astronomy, and philosophy. So his vast wisdom, actually the patron of all writers, scribes, and scholars, and for anyone engaged in the pursuit of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Another role, which is the one we're going to highlight, is that of mediator. And his wisdom and neutrality was what made him perfect as a trusted advisor and mediator of the mm-hmm. liminal between states of being. So we'll dig a little deeper into that. But just one more I want to point out is he is the keeper of magic. And so he is very, very sought after. Thoth is the master of magical arts, and he has authored powerful spells and incantations, especially in matters of transformation and protection. And so with that, I'll just kind of turn it over to you, Elvira. What do you know about some of his, how to define Thoth or what he's about?
Well, let's just put it this way. You highlighted a lot. I mean, you know, his areas are, as you said, writing and, you know, creating and inventing, you know, languages as well, you know, so the hieroglyphs are part of, you know, is what he created in the Egyptian aspect. And he's also associated with the moon and, you know, which is another way of recording time, so a time, you know, recorder of time. And the interesting part that I found with him is that, and I know I'm going to take this section just to kind of use that, is, you know, you've got to realize that Thoth then in the, you know, Ptolemaic time, he was associated with the Greek god Hermes. Now, obviously, that's when they started, the Romans and the, you know, the Greeks came over and the Romans. So it was becoming a more, I'll use the word international gathering of people and where they found their similarities and where they wanted to try to find similarities. So Thoth sort of became part of the Greek concept of Hermes. And from there, he had a moniker of thrice great is what it was, and obviously that they found to translate into the Hermes Trismegistus, which again is Hermes thrice Hermes three times, and that kind of bore out a whole nother side, which I won't follow too much because, as I had said at our beginning when we started talking, you know, before the show, is that's a big rabbit hole. But it does take it into, you know, the Emerald Tablets, and the Emerald Tablets is, you know, alchemy and the Philosopher's Stone, and so it kind of goes all into that. And that, of course, is, I think, truthfully more Greek orientated, and then it goes into, you know, more of the things that become involved with that. So, but you see that because of how big his list of things are, that you just sit and you go, well, you know, he is kind of, you know, big, and he's got a lot of things that work in terms of what he does, where he goes. And one of the things I did kind of want to mention, I know you mentioned, you know, the idea of, you know, helping with Isis and, you know, all these different things. One of the myths, of course, is that he basically was the creator of the 365-day calendar, because the year was always 360 days long, but basically Newt was sterile during that time frame. And to be able to create, he gambled with, you know, a certain amount of moves of how to do what he needed to do. And so he took 1/72nd of the light of the moon and created the 5 days. And having won that little kind of gamble, he then created it into 365 days. And so Newt and Geb could birth Osiris and Set and Isis and Nephthys, and then, you know, create again another level of the gods. So I thought that was kind of interesting how, again, time and calendar and all of this energy becomes part of creation, part of Thoth's mysteries and his, you know, where he holds the energies. And interesting, and I know this is kind of weird, but one of the things that the temple that he had, there was a temple, I'm trying to think here, I'm trying to find the actual name of it, but it was part of the last temple that was destroyed was prior to the beginning of Christianity. And the large column that was left, they basically broke down to make the foundations of a sugar factory in the mid-19th century. So his energy still maintained, you know, in another version. It kind of fell into, because a lot of times a lot of the temples were destroyed, but they made other things out of it, other temples. And then as we got into the more modern times, they actually used them in buildings of different natures. So I thought that even Thoth made it into the 19th century and further before, you know, another version of him was brought forth. So, and of course, you know, the one he's also, this is what I like, the inventor of astrology, as well as math, geometry, surveying, medicine, botany, and theology. Just a little bit to add to his resume of things that he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. He is vast just in his powers and his influence and his knowledge. Definitely anyone who is into magical practices, he would very much be a great deity to connect with and align with. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting, like his appearance is, he's often shown as like an ibis-headed man. And so the ibis is like a, it's a bird, it's a long, like a bird that kind of walks around in the shallow waters, maybe in the swampy waters, and it has a large beak. And so I was wondering about that. And it, because it seems like many gods, as well as like a few saints and angels, are portrayed with animal heads. And, you know, it's that was done, I found, that it was believed that these depictions represented their divine nature along with symbolizing, like, their chief qualities and characteristics. And so I was wondering, like, what is it about the ibis, you know? And so the ibis was considered sacred and was a representation of Thoth. In fact, I think Yehudi, the meaning of that is ibis. At least that's one source I read. But so this wading bird has a strong, long beak, which can pierce murky surface and get to the truth. And so that's why this bird head is why he's represented through the ibis, you know. And so I thought something else I found was these ibis birds, other animals too, but overwhelmingly the ibises were found mummified and buried with the pharaohs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
that would kind of make sense, though, when you think of Thoth being, you know, the advisor to, you know, the gods, and of course then again in form of ibis, advisor to pharaohs, and, you know, the whole, you know, translation into a physical form, it is the symbol of the connection to the god, which is in the connection to the bigger picture. It's, and you were saying that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, he has so many different symbols, you know, the scale, papyrus scroll, you know, reed pen, styluses, you know, and your writing palette, you're talking about the ibis and the beak, and, you know, there's that reed pen, the stylus, and then, you know, other aspects, you know, are, you know, also added to his repertoire. The fact that he does have baboon as another animal that kind of wanders into, you know, his group of things that work with him. And I believe when we get to the second half, where we're talking about a particular, he takes on a different aspect that I think, if I'm not mistaken, it does have, you know, the baboon energy of that. So we'll have to, you know, kind of wander through that when we get there.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, it's kind of, you sit there and you go, how can you get from an ibis to a baboon? Now, you know, I know you got a lot of things you can figure out, but I'm trying on that one. So that'll be an interesting one for us to kind of, if we choose to, wander through, depending on the time. But, and then we have to also, you know, talk about his consorts or his wife, which in essence, they paired him with Ma'at, of course, justice, truth, you know, the principle. We talked about her in another show. And then they kind of give you an iffy thing, because either you have Sechet as his offspring or as another consort, but he definitely had her. She was his second down from when he was the scribe and he was working with, you know, working on the advisor and that aspect. So she was her, you know, like second, you know, commander, I wouldn't say second in command, more like a person or energy that would be there to help him as his helper. So I was kind of looking at that going, well, you know, either it's his daughter or it's, you know, his consort, but definitely a major character in the aspect of where the deity of the scribe and advisor and you know, working in that level, because obviously she helped him with recording the records of time, et cetera. So I don't know. Are we ready for our break, or do we have a couple minutes?
Yes, we are heading towards a break. So I guess we'll pause right here with those thoughts and pick it up again on the other side of the break. So break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Well, welcome back. tonight we're talking about the deity Thoth and how he is connected to the theme or the concept of tween time or between time, liminal space. So how about you start us off with some of your thoughts, Elvira?
Well, obviously, he kind of gets changed sometimes when he is in the underworld. And his form is, and I can't, I'm going to say it, I have no idea if it's really the way it should be said, is Aon, A, and then apostrophe A-N. So A, I would go Aon. But that mm-hmm. is, he presides over basically the area of the dead, you know, and when the dead come into the hall of, you know, truth, and the souls who are coming in before their heart is weighed against, obviously, in the scales of Ma'at, her feather. And, of course, those fearing, you know, they might not be able to pass through the judgment safely, were encouraged to call upon him for help. And so he, you know, he is part of this energy of helping people through a situation. Maybe there is an ability to find some time. I know that there was, you know, in his hall, he, you know, it was an area they could go to sit mm-hmm. and be able to find some calm before they had to go into the hall of truth and be judged, and finding ways to help him or help the soul go through that. So, mm-hmm. you know, his just and uncorruptible judge aspect is that he was there to help, but also would not be able to be bribed, bought, or, you know, in any way changed from that aspect of, you know, following the individual and their behavior of what they did in life and where they mm-hmm. are in this aspect. So I found that very interesting, because, again, we're looking at the idea that this energy, thought, being changed mm-hmm. in this other aspect, still keeps thought there, but he has to wear this other, I don't want to say mask, but cloak,
mm-hmm.
and deals mm-hmm. in this area. So, you know, as we mm-hmm. know, we talked about all the different things he, you know, invented, was part of, etc. But down here,
mm-hmm.
it's basically there, it's an aspect to give him the sense that
mm-hmm.
he is part of this judgment process, and he will help with it, but he will also be, you know, he will not lie, cheat, or steal to let the person through. And mm-hmm. There were a lot of, you know, the Book of Thoth, you know, was sort of relegated to his, you know, ways of helping with the Book of the Dead and getting the different aspects of that. So it was kind of like an addendum to the, mm-hmm. the Book of the Dead to help, you know, the soul learn how to navigate and wind mm-hmm. up trying to find out if they go to, and I know the word was used, paradise, but I don't know mm-hmm. if that would have been how the Egyptians would have described enlightened area for the soul to be in versus, you know, going mm-hmm. off, and I think they get eaten and devoured and, you know, what would be, again, quoted as hell, unquote. But I found it very interesting, because you think of Ma'at as
mm-hmm.
the deity of truth and the judgment and justice of that process, and yet he mm-hmm. is more intimately involved with the individual mm-hmm. souls. So,
So
I thought that was interesting.
So I think he is there for conditions that appear to go mm-hmm. through. And, you know, kind of helping them along the way.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I know that, you know, at the moment, that kind of looks at what is his next step. I mean, he obviously mm-hmm. has, you know, it was called the Mansion of Thoth. Is the safe place for the souls to mm-hmm. rest and receive magical spells to be able to help them, in going into the, against demons who would take them away. So that brings, mm-hmm. To the concept of magic. So what do you think about, not only his being part of the mm-hmm. the aspect of magic being part of his things, but what would we do to utilize him in the liminal space and, between mm-hmm. the physical world and the spirit world? How would we work with him? What are your thoughts on that?
I think, so with him being the god of balance and I think that could apply in so many different ways because he controls time and space. And he's a mediator both on the divine level and also in the underworld. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that sounds like really wide, applications are possible, but Thoth was also known as the Lord of Time and the Reckoner of Years because he recorded and marked the passage of time through magic and the divine order of words. And it's kind of interesting. I think one, just a phrase keeps coming into my head where that memory did not form all the way or truly exist in total until he started creating language and in a way to record things that have happened. Mm-hmm. So, we can see that like magic and time itself is very liminal. We're mm-hmm. always moving through today, yet yesterday is a memory and tomorrow is the potential of all that's yet to come. And so I think Thoth as the Lord can be thought of as the one who stands at the threshold of each passage and is kind of in the eternal now. And so he's like the essence standing between the before and the after.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, I think that as this mediator and liminal deity of the between, we might align with Thoth for enhanced wisdom, improved communications, seeking clarity, or like spiritual insights, and of course, magical proficiency. I think that anything that has to do with, no matter what map you use, I know that I think shamans use the upper world, the world, and then the underworld. But I think that that's probably in a few different practices. You can see how much you would, if you needed help with influences in either of those areas, I could see where if you were aligned with Thoth, that would make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, darling, go on. I can wait.
Well, I might diverge from the topic a little, or from the from that part. I was just, I was thinking that, he anytime we have, when we're seeking guidance or seeking to increase our knowledge of magic or for clarity and wisdom and for matters having to do with time and balance, to me that seems like the perfect time to do that would be when you go into meditation, mm-hmm. and ask to connect or align with him and then, and ask for maybe answers or direction, or increased knowledge, and that would be, to me, I think that would be probably one of the best ways to connect with him. He said receptive to those who seek his guidance. And so I think, you know, going into meditation would be a perfect way to do that.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting because, you know, with his magical involvement, it's about, you know, it's you, his, you know, revitalizing the soul, even in the underworld, you know, the revitalizing the soul and, you mm-hmm. know, being able to bring the dead back, you know, to life in the underworld, meaning it's a transformation. They die to the physical world, but they're in this in-between state where they're, quote, being judged. But then his ability to help them move mm-hmm. through that and with, you know, either magical help or, you know, working through the things that they did or, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to say failed on, but were unable to do as well. Mm-hmm. But then to bring them into a revitalizing themselves, giving them more energy and being able to move forward into, you know, the afterlife that is mm-hmm. the positive afterlife. I think that, yes, there was a lot of emphasis put on those that failed the test, so to speak, with the heart and the feather. But I also mm-hmm. see that as he is a mediator, mm-hmm. you know, it means he helps find the balance. So where did you fail? Where did you stumble? And thus, mm-hmm. what are the things you can do to remediate that process is also mm-hmm. there. So if we're looking at magic, you know, or mm-hmm. spiritual guidance, we can mm-hmm. work with that same process. And, you know, as you say, it's the quiet place. You know, I know that we can form mm-hmm. a circle, we can cast our circle, we can, you know, do the yeah. incense, we can do the whole process of spiritually making that space between the worlds mm-hmm. in that way. And I know that that is, you know, a ritual, magical way. But then there mm-hmm. is other part where, as you said, the meditation and going into a space that is also sacred mm-hmm. and finding that connection and being able to, you know, ask for guidance or give, you know, some information that they yes. you can follow through in the physical plane to mm-hmm. do. And I know we're all talking, you know, magic and spells and, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. Yes, that is important. That is real. That is appropriate. But sometimes it's to, you know, find a place in the physical world and mm-hmm. to do something. So if it's go work mm-hmm. with, you know, when you find the need for someone to be helped, help mm-hmm. them. Put out the you know, kind of like open the door for somebody that's carrying a heavy package. Because, again, mm-hmm. the symbology of opening a door, the threshold transition, allowing the individual to cross into this area with a heavy burden that they then let go of and come back out, is a symbolic way for you as an individual to magically work something into your life that shifts and changes because you were there to help and, you know, or that you do that, you know, in terms of that. I think everyday mm-hmm. practices are important just as much as doing the magical things. I found that I've always loved the magical because I love the theater and the mm-hmm. all the stuff that goes into it and the, you know, the feelings and all that. But mm-hmm. there's a place for everyday experiences to be created because I think that's how we ground our spiritual magic mm-hmm. into the real world. And thus it becomes, you know, a reality for us, because mm-hmm. I know magic is great and we feel it, we see this or we are able to contact the spirits on the other side. I agree with that. But I also see mm-hmm. that we come back to the physical world. And rather than wish that we could stay in that spiritual realm, you know, or get disappointed because that's so beautiful and we're here in this place, I think that's more important. I really do. I think putting it in the physical realm, see the process. Or magic. So do you have any opposing ideas or anything? Of course,
No, not at all. No, yeah. I like a lot of your thoughts. I totally agree with. I was thinking just starting out, I think for those seeking to connect with thoughts, it's probably best to start out by researching and learning all you can about him. And, you know, this is true for any beginning to connect to any deity, but it's especially noted and appreciated by Thoth because he is the divine scribe and the god of wisdom. And so I think that as we start researching and learning about him, that that is actually the process that will connect us to him. Yeah, and I love, you know, doing the ritual, getting things together, you know. I know that a couple of the offerings that Thoth likes is, one of them is bread. The other is honey. And for any kind of drink offerings, it's said that he appreciates wine, mead, or water. And then I was kind of looking at herbal offerings, and it is said, from what I could see, is that he appreciates cinnamon, anise, or anise, I'm not sure, however people pronounce it. I hear it in different pronunciations, dill, and blue lotus. And so these can be placed on the altar or sprinkled around candles, or they can be burned alone or with some, you know, blended into some incense. And if you like working with herbs, you can even take some of the herbs that are affiliated with him and grind them up to create your own unique and special incense for him. And other incenses we might offer to Thoth are myrrh, frankincense, any kind of cinnamon blends, or kaifi incense. And, you know, I had to look up the recipe again, but I've made kaifi incense a number of times, and that's kind of a neat incense. It's an ancient Egyptian incense formula that was so highly regarded that it was engraved on the temple walls in ancient Egypt. And so it's a formula that's based on a mix of wine and raisins. And so those would be kind of finely ground up along with additional fragrant botanicals, such as like cinnamon and acacia, juniper, cardamom, sweet flag, myrrh, frankincense, and maybe, you know, a little honey. I think there's a few other ingredients, but those are like the main ones.
Wow.
And then, yeah. I think that some of the crystals that I saw that people use as to Thoth are carnelian, agate, amethyst, black obsidian, golden moonstone, lapis, and selenite. So those are my couple little lists that I made. but just, you know, I think that when I put an altar or a ritual together, I like to get an idea of what appeals the most to the deity or the spirits that I'm trying to work with. Yeah. And so, you know, I think anybody starting out, you know, doing research on them and maybe you know, create a little altar. You might want to get an image of them to use as a focal point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know,
yeah, it was, go ahead.
Yeah, one other thing I thought, you know, just because he is the sacred scribe, is that if you journal, you might want to dedicate your book and your favorite pens and journals to Thoth and then place them on your altar or put them out in the moonlight and ask Thoth to bless them and empower them, especially if you're doing anything, if you're recording any of your magical work, any of your inner thoughts that you're trying to achieve clarity on, and just ask thoughts to bless and empower them.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Kind of trippy how, you know, everything kind of comes around, you know, because, as I say, he is so broad with things that, you know, part of using him in a, you know, as a intermediary is, and I don't mean to use it in a bad way, but, you know, interact with him. It, because there are so many areas, like if you're an astrologer and you want to have more help with that, this would be a deity you could work with, you know, in terms of that. The same thing with even astronomy. I mean, you know, one is not just the metaphysical aspects of astrology and all of that, but the actual astronomy that we have in the world about, you know, where the planets and the placement and the galaxy and everything that we're talking about is to, you know, work with this being, because this being is vast. So if you're, you know, kind of hanging out, it isn't about, oh, gee, I'll just use them for, you know, a manifestation of this or that. It's, you know, getting the knowledge, the bringing wisdom into your and insights and helping, you know, with, you know, things that you may be kind of stuck in, you know. Which I thought about him really when I was doing geometry, because that was the one class in high school that I did so poorly with. So. I'm like, oh, my God, and it's geometry they say here. So I'm like, okay.
Yes. So it seems like he would be an awesome deity to connect with for things from the mundane, working with numbers, you know, to the magical, you know, working to increase your magical knowledge. I've also heard that he is said to be a guide for those who astral travel, which is very much, you know, about journeying into those liminal or in-between places.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're getting kind of close to the end. Do you have any final thoughts?
Any final thoughts? My God, that is so, like, okay. Well, I think that it's, I like what you talked about being, you know, the you know, he works with the past, writing and recording, and then is in the present moment taking care of different things, you know, advising at the time, mediating, and, you know, then the future or tomorrow is, you know, where he, you know, steps in. I love that because I can see it in those three things and the threshold between that we're talking about, between times or between energies. But the one thing that keeps hitting my head is, I'm going to say this, Ram Dass's is Be Here Now. I think that moment of being in this moment is most important. Just like we're talking, we're in this moment, I said that. And then the next moment, there'll be something that comes on top of that, but it's not staying with what I said, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
On this.
Yeah, well, this has been a lot of fun, just talking about a very multi-layered, very interesting deity. I'm sure there's so much more that could have been said about him. But it is time for us to start wrapping up. So I have to do a bit of housekeeping with some contact information for both of us. So for readings or root work, you can find Elvira and I on Hoodoo Psychics and also on AIR, Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And you can find Elvira online at www.elvira.com and also at www.milk-and-honey.com. And you can find me on my website at www.bewitchingbee.com. So I guess this pretty much wraps up tonight's show. And next week, Thursday, we will continue our September theme of Tween Times by talking about fire and water and hot and cold magic. So for now, it's time for us to say goodbye. until next time, our magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.